The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Read of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly a violent storm came up on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by waves, but he was asleep. They came and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you terrified, O you of little faith?" Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. The men were amazed and said, "What sort of man is this, whom even the winds and the sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord. You have done the spiritual exercises. This is probably one of the best Ignatian contemplations you can make, where you're utilizing what I've taught you in the exercises, your imagination. So if you haven't spent some time on this passage, spend some time this afternoon. Just five short verses, but it's just packed with meaning. This seemed to be very ironic. The only time we find Jesus asleep in the Bible is this passage. It's almost funny. Have any of you ever been in a ship? I have. You ever been in the ocean in a ship? I don't think any of us would be able to fall asleep easily if we're in a ship in the midst of the sea and a storm is descending upon us. I mean, it's almost funny, you know? The only time that Jesus is asleep is the Gospel today. But there's a reason behind that, a deep spiritual reason behind that. Okay, try to imagine it. You got Jesus in the boat, say, maybe it's Peter's boat, or maybe John's boat. And at least four of his apostles were professional fishermen. That was their work. So they knew the sea like the back of their hand. So they're in the boat, and Jesus is exhausted. He's been probably preaching the whole day. He's doing miracles. He's helping the poor people. He's helping the sick people. Jesus falls asleep. Then the storm descends upon the lake. And I was once in a ship in Lake Galilee. I was on pilgrimage about 12 years ago. And I remember reading up on Lake Galilee, and one of the favorite writers of Fulton Sheen was William Barclay. And this is what they said: you could be in that lake and there's great calmness, and all of a sudden a storm breaks out just like that. Sudden storms could break out on Lake Galilee. And that's probably what happened, is that this storm breaks out and these professional fishermen see the ship being swamped with water. These are men that have been brought up and raised in Lake Galilee their whole life. And they see Jesus asleep. They wake him up and they say, "Lord," two short phrases of three words. "Lord, Lord, save us. Lord, we are perishing." Two short sentences, so it's just six words. Okay? Lord, save us. Lord, we are perishing. And these are professional fishermen that know that lake better than anyone else. What happens? Jesus wakes up. Ugh. He probably didn't do that, but he was not worried, no? Jesus, what does he do? He says, you have little faith. Why are you worrying? Then Jesus rebukes two things, both the waves and the wind, those two things. The waves and the wind, and right away, immediately, there's calmness. And they are astonished that even the winds and the waves obey Jesus. All right. There's a lot of interpretations of this. Okay, first interpretation. The boat symbolizes the Catholic Church. Any traditional interpretation is going to give that to you. Any good traditional Orthodox interpretation would say that the ship, the boat, is the bark of Peter, which is the church. Now, we are going through a tough time in the Catholic Church. And if you're not aware of that, you know, you're living in a cave, okay? I would call you Miss Ostrich. You got your head in the sand. Excuse my New York bluntness, no? The Church is going through a tough time. If you really want to get to know Catholicism well, I think you all have to study church history. Okay? Study church history. If you study church history, that can help you out enormously. I think I've suggested to Joe and some people I know real well, Bill Cook is the best out there. Okay? So write down Bill Cook, the great courses, they're intellectual courses. Maybe Richard can get that. Bill Cook, the great courses. He gives an excellent, it's about 35 half-hour talks on church history. From the time of Jesus up to Benedict the 16th. I have gone through education. I've been in education for 30 years, and I was a teacher, so I know a little bit what's a good teacher, what's an average teacher, what's a mediocre teacher, what's a lousy teacher. I know it. This guy, I give him an A+. Right, Joe? The guy he's just a superb, so you get 25-minute talks for about 30 talks. The guy's just superb. And one thing he's going to point out is this, that the church has always had problems and the church is persecuted. That's the first lesson he gives. The church has always had problems and the church has always been persecuted. So the church is going through a tough time now. Don't jump ship, as most Catholics are. Don't jettison or jump out of the ship. Okay, in the time of Noah, who were saved? Those in the ship or those outside the ship? Okay? Those who were in the ark, they were the only ones that were saved. Right? Read Genesis if you don't believe me. Noah, his wife, and his sons, and the daughter-in-laws, and the animals. They were saved. Okay, what happened to all those outside the ship? They were drowned. Let me ask you a question. 40 days, right? Do you think after 40 days That ark smelled like Chanel number 5 after. What do you think? We have a New York expression. You're a New Yorker? It smelled high heaven. It stunk high heaven. It really was probably a terrible smell, but they were saved. So there are certain things in the church that stink high heaven. Eh? They do. How can you admit? Whatever you say about the church is true. Whatever you say about the church is true. You got the best of the best and you got the worst of the worst. You hear me? You got the best of the best, you got the worst of the worst. I'm going to mention 6 Catholics for you. First, John Paul II. Was he a good Catholic?
Yes, Father.
The best, right? How about Mother Teresa?
Yes, Father.
Okay, how about Saint Teresa of Avila? Pretty good? Okay, I wouldn't, if you had those 3 statues or pictures in your home, I would feel honored to go to your home. Okay, see if you're going to put these other 3 statues or pictures in your room. Adolf Hitler. Do you like him? Most people think he was German. He was born in Austria. He was not born in Germany. And Austria is about the only country that was not contaminated by the Protestant Reformation. Germany was cut in half. Northern part, Lutheran. Southern part, Catholic. Where my great-grandparents come from. Okay? Another, Joseph Stalin. Russian Orthodox. Baptized. Do any of you have a picture of him in your room? Another one, are you ready? Fidel Castro. Fidel Castro was formed by the Jesuits in Cuba 80 years ago. And his brother Raul. They were. Whether you like it or not, it's true. So you got the best of the best, and you got the worst of the worst in the same Catholic Church. So, don't allow scandals within the church to rock your boat, to capsize your ship, to turn your ship into a Titanic. A Titanic. What happened to the Titanic? Sunk. So we got the best of the best and we got the worst of the worst. What you should all do and I should do is this. All of you try to become great saints. That's the only way to live our lives. To try to become great saints. Amen.